Moon can save the day.
Welcome to Mighty House. This is a radio show for people with problems. Home improvement problems, that is. Send an email now to robbie@mightyhouse.net or call into the show at 847-475-1590. From foundation leaks to roof repairs, the Mighty House team is on the job. You're listening to Mighty House.
I'm Ron Cowgill. The Mighty House team is back. Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, you can check them out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. And our Twitter handle is at Mighty House, and you can use the hashtag Mighty House. And if you give us a call at 847-475-1590, you will have a chance to win some great Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe, and you can learn more at MrFloor.com. And, of course, that drawing will be at the end of the show. And we've got Allison in the studio.
Hello, hello.
Allison is my safety blanket, basically, but she's also...
And it worked out really well in the first hour, I
yes,
got to tell
did.
You. It was a good thing
yes,
she was there.
Yes, it did.
That's right.
So Allison is from...
Integro Rehab.
And she's also a new NARI member. We arm wrestled her into it over the past year or so, I guess, with coming on the show. And,
guilted her into it.
Yes, and filling in for Robbie in the past year or so, and then we've... Got her to join. So,
yeah.
And then, Robbie, you there?
Nope.
Hello.
But we did fix Rich's microphone, and you're sounding beautiful, brother.
Yes, we did a fabulous job.
Yes.
It's a good thing we ordered all the parts we thought might be handy.
We did all the troubleshooting.
Yes.
Hey, Ron and I really
yes.
held down the fort over here.
That's it.
We talked about nothing for
good.
Almost a full hour.
No, and I mean, you know, it's so weird to have a guy like Sonar in the studio, you know, as an engineer, because he actually knows what the hell he's talking about.
Right.
So,
right. Where he's like, plug in
like
your
we're
headphones.
Just doing stuff, and then he's giving us the science why it's working.
Right.
So,
well,
there you go.
It's all good.
So listen for the podcast.
Right. His answer was, it's all zeros and ones, man. That's all, it's zeros and ones, man. That's it.
That's it. You can't change it. It's just zeros and ones.
Well, no, I liked how you said that. You can't put more, you can't talk any louder. Was it? You can't put more energy
yeah,
in zeros and ones.
You can't put more voltage into zeros and ones.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's so funny when you say it like that. It's so true.
Zero now is actually zero, and a one is a 5 volts. But
yeah.
the way that like things were over-modulated back in the day, especially for like, because they used to call them Sparkies because of the spark gap transmitter.
Mm-hmm.
But and that was just pushing voltage through as everything. So what they used to do to get more, a couple more miles out of the signal is they would actually overmod everything so everybody on the fringes would actually get a clearer signal.
Nice. Nice.
That's cool.
Excellent.
And that's just crazy stuff you don't think about.
Nope.
Well, you do, obviously.
Yeah, he does. That's,
yeah,
that's
super
the rest
fascinating.
Of us don't.
That's his job. Well, maybe we should go to Caroline and bring her on the phone here. Can I do that on my end here, Sonar?
Yeah, go ahead.
Is Caroline, you there?
Hey, guys. How
hey,
are you?
Hey.
Hi, Caroline.
Hi.
Nice talking to you.
You're such a nice little crew. You have to introduce me to everybody.
Yeah.
I kind of know
okay.
Ron and Rich. And
right. So I'm Ron. And then...
I'm Allison.
Rich.
And I'm Rich.
And is Robbie still out there somewhere?
Can you hear me?
Yay!
Yeah.
Woo-hoo! Okay, good.
See, we got a whole clan. So, and then here, where are you, Caroline?
I'm in New Jersey.
You're in Jersey. Okay. Allison and I are here in Chicago. And then Rich is on the west coast of Florida. Say hi, Rich.
Yep. And hello. Hi, Rich.
And then Robbie's on the east coast of Florida. Say hi, Robbie.
Hi, Robbie.
See? There you go. So
well, hello, everyone.
So we've got a good we're good coverage of the eastern United States and Midwest. So basically, you talk about healthy homes, and you're a healthy home expert. What does that mean?
It means that basically I look at what's going on in your home. I work a lot with physicians and bring information about how our health ties into how we're living. So we see a big correlation between how you live in your home and how you feel. And that's my job, to basically teach people about what could be, you know, going wrong in their home or how to keep it safe.
Okay, I have to ask you a question then. Do you watch that show, Hoarders?
I do.
Does that horrify you?
I see it so much in my business, to be honest with you, Ron.
Really? Really? Okay.
So, you know, people, and this is like not a socioeconomic thing. I mean, people can have a ton of money and live not healthy, or have little money and live very healthy. So what's interesting about my job is anybody can do this. You can make changes and really, you know, make a difference in your life, no matter what your socioeconomic status. So, great.
Okay. So
what's your...
Go ahead, Rich.
Your typical trigger, is it from a health professional, or is it, you know, what makes you go to somebody's home? Is it they call you just for the help?
Yeah, I mean, it really varies. I mean, I started in a small area. You know, I mean, I started working in the tri-state area, and now I work nationally, and we design these kits so anybody in the country, and I do international as well, can test their home. So whether you're in California or you're in Chicago, you can order kits from us. We send them out to you. We test for all kinds of different things, and we'll go into that, and people can do it from anywhere.
Okay, so what are you testing for?
So we look, a lot of things that we're looking for are really invisible. So even if I went out for an inspection, I wouldn't be able to see them necessarily. So those would be things like mold, allergens, pet protein, dander, dust mites, volatile organic compounds, formaldehyde, things that really people, you know, if you walk into a house and you see it looks clean, right? You're like, this is a great house, and then when you start to really analyze it, a lot of these homes are not so healthy.
And if you're using a lot of bleach and chemicals in there, that it might look clean, but then it's also probably not very safe.
Exactly. So when we start to look at VOCs, people are always like, what's a VOC?
Uh-huh.
And we're familiar with that because of paint, right? So we think paint, VOC, but everything. I mean, even natural things put off VOCs, from lemons or citrus or pine and turpentine. Things like that came from natural sources. So just because you're being natural and you're not using toxins, you think, doesn't mean your house is healthy.
Right.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, because I use vinegar, lemon, and water for almost everything.
Really?
In my house. Yeah.
Well, those things are better to use. So you want to use those things. But like when you start to use essential oils, you're probably familiar, Allison. A lot of people use these essential oils now, and they're constantly using them for more than the allotted time. You should really only be exposed to them about 15 minutes. A day.
Hold on.
Become a lung.
Oh, there hold
you,
on.
Now you got Robbie.
Robbie's like, now you're invading my bath time.
Uh-oh.
No, I use essential oils all the time.
That's why you're goofy.
Did you really just say that?
No, did that come out of my voice?
Yes, your mic was on. Mic was on.
Geez, I'm sorry, Robbie. I know.
I use like the peppermint, tea tree, eucalyptus in a diffuser. Now, diffusers are extremely popular. You're saying they're not good?
Yeah, you have to be really limited to the amount that you're using. And you want to. Studies have shown that about 15 minutes a day should be your max. So, you know, all of these things start to raise your volatile organics. And when you do that, you really compromise your indoor air quality. And even though they're natural, the body really doesn't have the ability to differentiate between a paint and, say, your peppermint essential oil. So all of these things add up to your total volatile number, which can easily put you over the edge and then put you into an unsafe air quality. So, yes, I'd be conservative. You can use them, but also remember, too, even when they're in the jar, they're still outgassing. People don't understand that when you have products in the house, and if you like to collect a lot of products, they're all continuing to outgas. They're not completely sealed. It's the same with a paint can. So all of this stuff keeps outgassing into your environment, and you can really get to unsafe levels, especially for children and older adults. So just keep it.
Okay.
So but I have to imagine that...
Go ahead, Robbie.
I have to imagine, though, that using the natural stuff, the essential oils, is going to be a lot better. Like if somebody had a diffuser on of lavender, let's say, instead of spraying chemicals all the time, you know, air freshener and stuff like that, I'm assuming that having on an air freshener of lavender all day... an essential oil of lavender all day is better than spraying air freshener every time you need it.
I mean, it depends on the synthetic compounds you're talking about. But again, the body, turpentine comes from pine or even formaldehyde comes from wood. These are natural chemical compounds. So they go into this lump of VOCs. And when your VOCs get over a certain number, so I like to see a house at 500 volatiles.
That
I really don't
like
care what your source is. It's actually not. I mean, most houses in the U.S. are coming in, you know, about 1,500 to 3,000.
Wow.
And we know these are too many based on, we're looking at European standards, we're looking at the U.S. GBC standard. So we really want to drop these because when you don't, they start to produce and can produce inflammation in the body. So my advice you know, from looking at this all the time is I would, you know, everything in moderation. You don't want to overexpose yourself to anything.
Wow. Okay.
And Caroline, don't be offended if you heard
new furniture.
If you heard Ron giggling, it was because he was doing a quasi cheerleading dance and a joy dance over here. Over I'm not sure what.
Rich and I were communicating. With hand signals.
But I was I was actively listening, and concerned about what you were saying.
Because we have like 30 seconds left.
Yeah. I'm very concerned about what you have to say.
Yeah. Can you hang on, Caroline?
Alarming.
Sure.
So, okay, let's keep you through the break here, and then we'll finish talking about this in the next segment. You are listening to Mighty House. You already turned off.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
You want to play?
See, I work.
There we go.
I build things. I don't know if y'all realize the pressure a man like me's got on.
This is Mighty House.
Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, you can check him out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call at 847-475-1590, you will have a chance to win some great Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe, and you can learn more at MrFloor.com. And let's go back on the phones here. Let's bring Caroline back up. Are you there, Caroline?
I'm here.
And Caroline is a National Health Home Expert. And part of what we were talking about in the last hour is some of the things that you... Oh, Robbie just turned her phone off again. Didn't she? She did.
Cereal's ready.
Oh, the cereal's ready. All right. Hey, Caroline?
Yeah.
Okay. So, much better. Thank you. So we were talking about during the break is lead, which... You go about the lead poisoning issues and stuff like that.
I brought
that
up because I was a trainer for the EPA for lead work practices. I said on her website she doesn't deal with lead much or bring that up. So then the side of it was she does, but it's not the core. But she had a great answer then how she does it by geographic region.
Okay, so just kind of go over the lead issue real quick. Because
predominantly I do a lot of water testing. So, okay. You know, when we're looking at, obviously, lead, that's one of the big sources I'll look at because of the exposure to the skin. So when we're analyzing it out, your water, you know, is the most important. And I recommend doing tests one a year. So you don't have to go crazy. People don't have to test, you know, and do all their tests at once. One time a year, you want to focus on the health of your home and pick a test. So one year you can do radon. One year you can do water. One year you can do volatile organics, mold, one thing. And then you end up breaking it up so it's not overwhelming. And when we're looking at lead, I like to do it, you know, through the water. So your skin's your largest bodily organ. A lot of the lead problems that we do see, I mean, they can be in older houses, obviously, you know all this. And but I do, you know, take it very seriously, especially with water testing. And I've done that way before the whole Flint, Michigan issue.
Okay.
So I had been telling my clients for years, what you're getting out of your tap is not necessarily what's coming out of the plant. So you really need
and
to be
the
testing.
Thing with the water, though, is because you don't absorb lead through your skin at all. It has to be ingested either through your nose or your mouth, quite honestly.
Right.
So the water is a huge issue. You start drinking tainted water. So the other thing that I worry about is anything with children in a house under six is double-hung windows and lead-based paint. Just opening and closing windows creates a lot of dust. So while you're
exactly.
looking, that's something you always want to search for.
So
typically when it's house dust like that, I will refer out to a lead company. There are companies that specialize
absolutely.
Just in lead remediation
absolutely.
And lead testing. So
right. So even if you're on city water, you should be testing that yearly?
Oh, absolutely. Because it just shows you. I mean, the Flint, Michigan thing was just one example.
Yeah.
But what you're getting at the tap, whether it's coming in from, you know, your pipes affect everything. People always think, well, what do? I don't affect my water. It's absolutely not true.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, your pipes can affect it. What type of fixtures you're using. If they're not lead-free, that can influence your water. Also,
right.
with wells in particular, like I had a well, perfect example. I bought a house 5 years ago. And it had high nitrates. I mean, they were below the national standard of safety. But if you start to look at the World Health Organization and you start to look at other studies that are done, as the nitrates get higher, you know, there's the risk of what we call blue baby syndrome, risk of prostate cancer, risk of other types of bladder cancer. So nitrates are really important to try to keep low. And when I purchased my house, they were higher than I would have liked them to be. They were up about 5,500. We started using all organic, no pesticide, no fertilizer on the lawn. I do not store automobile materials, anything, gasoline, you know, products that would affect my water supply. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, after 5 years, the nitrates went down almost 2 parts per million, which is a
wow.
lot. So they went from 5,500 to 3,200.
Right.
So, and that just shows you affect. You know, what you're doing does affect things.
Let the weeds grow. Let them live. Right?
Well, you can right. do organic gardening. You know, you can do reseeding. I've got a beautiful lawn, so you've uh-huh. got to really just do it naturally.
Excellent. Okay, so really what we talk about here is a lot of home improvement stuff. We tend to anyway. Today we haven't been talking about much home improvement stuff, but normally we do. And so if you're doing a bathroom remodel, a kitchen remodel, you're bringing a lot of new stuff into the home and a lot of new products. What should people be looking for as they're bringing all these new products in?
Well, two things that I always recommend is, look, if you're going to tighten up your building envelope and you're going to start making things more energy efficient, one, you've got to retest for radon after you do that. That's a big, big, big one in my book. Radon is, you know, one of the leading causes of lung cancer in the country. We have it in all 50 states. So if you do a remodel, if you change things, if you change any way your air is flowing, make sure to do a radon test. That's one. Two,
okay.
when you start to bring and do major construction and renovation, if you're doing larger projects, one, know where your products are coming from. We've had a lot of issues with people becoming sick because the product came from overseas where the standards weren't up to where they should be. You've heard about the whole lumber liquidator flooring.
Right, with the formaldehyde.
So, right, know where yep. it's coming from. Formaldehyde is a huge problem in this country because of the way we build. As we've gotten cheaper or more engineered product, we're adding more and more toxins into that product. So try to stick with, you know, straighter, you know, simpler products. The more engineering you get, chances are the more chemicals you're going to get.
Okay, so because the glues and the resins
mm-hmm.
and stuff that
formaldehyde
they're putting in.
Mm-hmm. binders. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, in the early 90s, we did a kitchen remodel. We ended up having to replace the subfloor in the house, and as we did that, we put in all new plywood, and then all of a sudden the homeowner got really sick, and he would go away, and during the week and when he was traveling, and be fine, and come home, and he'd get sicker than the dog.
Hmm.
We figured
this
out
is all the time. This is happening,
And so
right.
it took us a while back then.
Do?
We didn't know. We didn't think. Yeah. We're like, well, dude, you're messed up. It's not. We didn't think
right.
it was anything we were
it's
doing.
Not us. Yeah.
We eventually
right.
figured it out that it was the plywood that we had used.
Yeah. Yes.
It had formaldehyde glues in it and actually was causing that problem. He couldn't live in his house for 6 months.
Oh, my God. So you had to rip it up.
No, we left it. We were done.
Mm-hmm.
By the time we figured out what was causing this,
yeah.
it was too late. The kitchen was done.
Mm-hmm. No, you have to just let it out off gas until
right.
it's, you know.
The problem is some of these things don't out gas. It's
okay.
the problem. And
oh,
they
I know.
Continue to do it indefinitely. And
mm-hmm.
then these
yep.
people, you know, have to rip the stuff out because they just can't live with it. So,
well,
I mean, I deal with this all the time.
The funny thing is, though, people will do everything they can to get low VOC paints, low VOC glues, non-formaldehyde plywood on their floors and this and that, blah, blah, blah. And then they go put cheap furniture in there that off-gases for 10 years and kills
yeah.
them anyway.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well,
you know, because I always ask where my furniture's coming from and, you know, does it have a hardwood frame, you know, not
mm-hmm.
just some plywood and this and that. I mean, it's amazing. It's just...
Well, and
I
think Carolyn brings up a good point, too, that people aren't thinking about, especially with major renovations, which is what, you know, we're doing, is the technology, houses are getting really airtight. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you put a new set of windows in there, you start getting spray foam in there, you know, insulation, the drywall, and then it's like your house is airtight. It's not, there's nothing coming in and out.
Right.
And in some ways that's good, but in some ways it's bad. So, you know, Carolyn, it's like, okay, so if people do radon testing and it comes out high, what are their options to remedy that?
Well, so then, you know, you'd have to do some kind of remediation system, but you bring up this great point, Allison. So when I went back for, you know, sustainable design education, my biggest problem was that what are we doing about health?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're testing VOCs, but when you start to stack these building envelopes and you're getting layer upon layer, there is nothing in this world that prevents water from getting in. I've done mold testing for 17 years. And water will find its way into any building envelope. I don't care what
know.
You do.
Yep.
Yes,
so
it
the question
does,
to
doesn't
me
it?
Is, the question is, how do you test and know that this is there? And that's why I require all my clients test every 3 to 5 years for mold. I don't care what your building envelope is. I don't care what people tell you. I don't care how well you flashed. water sources will, you know, develop just because of showers and indoor plumbing, sweating, condensation, high relative humidity. It's impossible to keep it out.
Yes.
So question would be is because mold is everywhere. I mean, there's thousands of types of mold, and there's only a few that are truly dangerous to humans. But there, mold is always present. Mold spores are on everything. So how do you address that? Because really, unless you get temperature and humidity, they're not going to bloom. So
yeah, well,
it's
so
harmless
what happens,
on the wall dry, but it's, that's what I'm getting at. How do you determine when it's time to treat it?
So when you test, right, you'll have your naturally occurring, you always take a baseline sample outside. That gives you your naturally occurring amount. And then what we do is compare that to the samples that we take inside. And you'll see when you start to have what we call water damage indicators, which are either the toxic molds we hear about or common molds like Aspergillus, Penicillium, Cladosporium. Even though they're common molds, inside when their concentrations get too high, they make people have symptoms. So that's why you have to monitor how much you're, you know, bringing in and what's there. And just there's a range. So we can tell specifically, like, okay, you're starting to have a problem 20, 25 years on a bathroom or kitchen, you need a remodel. Like, that's my kind of threshold.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You're not going over that.
I know you can't see Rich, but he's very
answer.
Excited.
There's well, a no, lot. The reason why is because there's a lot of HVAC contractors out there trying to sell the ultraviolet things for people's furnaces and that. Mm-hmm. And they'll tell you, they'll get a mold wipe, and they put it across a return or a supply, and it's going to show mold is present. And they're going to scare people into buying this stuff. But what she's saying is without a baseline, what's going on outside,
right?
It's a sham. So that's actually a great answer. That's why I was like happy.
Yeah, and that's what answer. That's why you want to do air. I prefer air testing because I want to know what you're breathing in that space. And it becomes very obvious when you start comparing this. I mean, I've been doing this for such a long time that, you know, these are the standards now out there for mold. And people should be required to test. I mean, if you're buying a property, you're spending money, you need to know if you have toxic mold because these remediation projects are very pricey. And if you do have a mold issue, then you've got to start gutting and making sure everything's removed and that you don't have mycotoxins and things that can ruin your, you know, your actual integrity of your home.
Okay.
Sure.
So if somebody, we've got about 2 minutes left here. I want to cover this real quick. If somebody wants to test their home or if they want to know if they actually do have a healthy home or not, how do they get a hold of you? How can they get a hold of this kit, or what should they be doing?
They just come to our website, healthyhomeexpert.com, and we've got, you know, great resources for people to educate themselves about different, you know, toxins, contaminants, things they have to think about in their home. And they can order our test kits. They can call us. Our number's there. So healthyhomeexpert.com.
Healthyhomeexperts.com. And so you ship this all over the country then, correct?
Yeah, depending on what people, they do a consultation, we figure out what's going on, what they're worried about, if they do have issues. You know, some people obviously come to us from physicians, so, you know, they have medical things going on, and then we try to figure out what's going on in the home, and, you know, 80% of the time, 90%, probably 90%, we really fix people's problems. Headaches, you know, if your body aches, headaches, you go to your doctor, you're not getting answers about what's going on, and everything comes back normal in your testing, start looking at your house as a solution.
All right, Caroline, I appreciate your time. And the other thing to think about is your office where you work every day. You spend more. Some people spend more time in their office than they do at home. So you want to try and test that also. I appreciate your time today, Caroline.
Thanks, guys. Nice meeting you.
Thank
All right,
you.
Thanks.
You
we'll talk to you later. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to
Mighty House.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
See, I work construction. I build things. I don't know if y'all realize that. Pressure a man like me's got on.
This is Mighty House.
All right, Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, you can check them out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, and HomeImprovementUSA.com. For more information, you can go to Mighty House Home Improvement Show on Facebook or Twitter. Our handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call at 847-475-1590, you will have a chance to win some great Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe. And you can learn more at MrFloor.com. And that number again, 847-475-1590. And something we got into during the break there, Rich, with Caroline, and again, for her information, it was healthyhomeexpert.com, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. See, now you can lean back, Rich. Look at that. You're leaning back.
You're
relaxed.
So relaxed.
Oh, I'm telling you, this is so much better now. And the sound
have
is
that
so
wide
much better.
Eye look.
Yeah,
yeah.
It sounds good.
People
too.
Can't hear me. People can't hear me.
Yeah. So, what we were talking about there in the break there is pressurizing the home or trying to exchange that air. And there are a couple different systems that do that. Robbie, you want to explain what those are?
Yes, I do.
Okay, go ahead.
But I'm busy right now.
Oh.
I'm busy answering emails.
Okay.
Well, I don't think
I'm on Facebook.
So you basically have two main systems these days. You have an ERV, which is an energy recovery ventilator, and you have an HRV, which is a heating recovery ventilator. We typically use the ERVs, but actually we use a dehumidification system on at least one system inside the house, because ours, even though we're transferring air and we're going to heat or cool that air, which typically we're cooling it, mm-hmm. we have to dehumidify it.
Before it even hits your system?
Absolutely, because it will cause the systems to fail. But again, you're introducing all that excess moisture, mm-hmm. which then can cause the mold bloom. So by bringing in outside air and not treating it, you could actually cause a bigger problem than just leaving the house closed up.
Oh, and that's down in Florida. That's not something we generally would have to worry about up here, though, right? In the Chicago
just those
area.
3 days a year in August when, you know, it's 104 heat index.
Mm-hmm.
But no, but you're absolutely right. That's why everything's done geographically. That's why there's no way you can do, you know, I saw this on this TV show, so this is how it's got to be done.
Right.
Like, fine, then get the guy from California to come out here and screw your house up, because I'm telling you, you don't want to do it like that in Kansas.
Well, right. I don't think, and it's also these makeup air systems, for mm-hmm. these big stoves. That's another problem, too. It's like, if you don't have a long way, they have all these different technologies, and I have people say, oh, well, can't we just hook up, the makeup air to the furnace? And it's like, well, you need something to cool or heat that air. You can't mm-hmm. just shoot cold air right at your residential furnace.
Well, you can, but
the weird thing
is
the way that we do it in restaurants. In a restaurant, you take your makeup air unit or your makeup air ducts,
mm-hmm.
and you usually put it at the baseboard behind the range, the deep fryers, and all that,
mm-hmm.
so that you can create a natural draft. When the hood goes on, you're pulling the air from the floor up past the equipment straight out the hood. What I don't get is on the residential side, anything over 400 CFM, range hood, over 400 CFM has to have makeup air now with a controlled damper that opens and closes with the hood, right?
Right.
But where's they putting the damper or the grill for the air? They're putting it across the house.
Right.
So now you're pulling air all the way through the house and up this flue, as opposed to just running a duct from outside and coming up at the baseboard behind the equipment.
But
that's the most logical way to do it, and trying to get them to do it. Or an architect to design it that way.
That makes sense, Rich. Come on.
I know.
Come on.
Hey, can I say something really quick?
Sure.
847-475-1590. If you want to get in on this conversation or have questions about the air quality in your home, giggle boy over there. Who's
tickling
you?
High five
me
on that one, Rich.
She didn't catch it.
High five me, Rich.
She didn't catch it.
Woo!
Yes, can I say something really fast? Was that it?
Yes.
Thank
you. That
I
was
caught
it,
Rich. I chose to just
ignore
you
us.
You go low, I go high. Isn't that what the motto of the country is now?
Not anymore.
Anyway, so if you'd like to join this conversation, which I'm sorry that I interrupted, believe me, I'm sorry. 847-475-1590. Continue.
So what you're saying is that for you would just run the duct behind the in a residential
quack,
kitchen?
Quack. Thank you, Ron.
Yeah.
Quack, quack.
Yeah, I mean,
My question is, do you have enough equipment that's hot enough to really make it? I mean, in a restaurant, you have like big ranges, but there's a lot of heat pumping out,
Well, the thing is, it depends on what you're using, but for the most part, I use most of the equipment I use is 48-inch Wolf ranges.
Mm-hmm.
And they either have the griddle or the broiler in them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's a pretty good sized piece of equipment. It could be 70,000 BTUs just on that griddle or burner. So by putting that vent right behind that Wolf range, I can actually draft straight up through that flue, because the hood we're using is 1,200 CFM if it's got a grill. If it's a griddle, I can go down to a 600 or 800, 900.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, you have to look at everything on a case-by-case basis, but the problem is there's usually no provision for getting ductwork there for makeup air.
Right? Yeah.
All right, let's go to the phones, and let's go to George on line two. George, you're on Mighty House.
A phone call?
Yeah.
Yes, how you doing?
Whoa.
Wow.
Pumping through. Okay, go ahead, George.
Yes, how you doing?
Good.
Good.
Yeah, I wanted to ask a question about windows. My mother has a house. It's an older home. I think it was probably built in like the 1900s.
Okay.
Ooh,
and
nice.
she has issues now with trying to seal the windows from the air.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess when they originally did put in the window frames, now the window frames are coming out of the structure itself.
Wow.
And it's getting hard to seal the air. Like in the wintertime, the air just comes in.
Right.
Yeah.
And she needs to know like what's a good company to go to help, you know, maybe take out all those frames and get new frames in there to get new windows in.
Right. Yeah, you've got a lot of issues there. I mean, it's going to start out with cost, because there are companies out there that will install new windows for $100 a piece. But there's also, and those are going to be some basic vinyls, nothing fancy with them. And, right. You know, but it's going to put a piece of glass in the hole. And if that's what you need, then that might be okay. The other side of that spectrum is a triple glazed window that's got, you know, between the glass features where you can have your blinds in there or muttons and all that kind of stuff. And
muttons.
And those.
Put sheep in there?
Yeah, exactly. You know, the little bars.
It comes
the
with
glass.
A stew for
muttons.
every window.
Muttons.
So then,
okay.
But
you
that,
mean mullions?
Mullions. You might be spending.
Minions.
Minions.
You might be spending $1,200
Florida,
a window on that
minions.
One.
Minions.
So, you know, so on the high end, you're $1,200. So you got to maybe figure out where you want to go, and then go ahead, Rich. And figure out from
well
there.
I think one of the other keys that he's going to have to watch out for is, because the house is built around 1900, it means he has the weight boxes on either side of the sashes,
right,
of the frame. So those need to be removed. When they pull the old sashes out, the old window comes out. If they usually will leave the frame and then a screw in a replacement window in that frame opening, but they need to pull those weights out and fill those voids with foam. If they do not, the new windows are going to be a waste of money.
Right.
Because you'll get all that air leakage from around the frame.
So, you could start out by, if you go to the Marvin Design Gallery, which, you know, that's up in Lake Bluff. I don't know if you're close to that area. You could swing up there.
Chicago.
And take a look at that. They've got everything from the basic vinyl windows all the way up to the high end. So you've got a good spectrum to look at. And then you've also got your Gilkeys and those kinds of places.
Well, Anderson does renewals still,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and Anderson does the renewal. So all of those
Advanced
are good places.
Advanced Windows is a good vinyl company. Advanced Windows.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a good product.
Advanced Windows?
Yeah, you know, if you're more on a budget.
Yes, she's retired, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, then there's your answer.
But I would say, it sounds like the frames are what's the problem.
Right.
So, you know, just be prepared. You're going to have some labor. Labor costs in there, because they're not just going to be replacing the windows, they're going to be rebuilding the frames. Now, don't let that freak you out. It's not like this exorbitant thing.
What it needs. No, it's what it needs.
Yeah.
Cool. So
well,
advanced,
because if you don't, then it's just a waste of money. You're just, you know, throwing money out the window.
What kind of foam would they be replacing it with?
It's a
They can use great stuff is fine.
It's just a low
expansion.
You know,
the cans of great stuff, it's just a foam that's going to expand and fill up those voids from those weights from the old sashes, the ropes that or chains that were in there.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep. And it's a low expanding foam.
Low expanding foam. Okay.
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 All right. All right. Thanks, George. We're going to try and get one more phone call in here, and let's go to move the mouse out. It looks like Marie. Hey, Marie, you're on Mighty House.
Hey, good morning. I have a question about a house from the late 1960s, original, linoleum floor in the kitchen.
Okay.
How's the best way to clean that?
Clean the linoleum floor? Personally?
We're on a budget.
Yeah.
We're not going to replace.
Okay. So then there's the
vinegar, lemon, and water.
Works.
Vinegar, lemon, and water.
My sonar's answer to everything.
Sonar's agreeing.
Yeah.
That's what we use.
I'm telling you. Vinegar and water on any surface. If you have white socks, it's the only thing. If you shuffle across it, your socks are clean.
There's also a product called Bio Green Clean that we use for all kinds of different stuff. You can order that online, too, if you go to biogreenclean.com, and you can try that. That's environmentally safe, all non-toxic. And there's also some stuff at MrFloor.com. So if you go to MrFloor.com, you might be able to pick it up from them. They've got all different kinds of flooring cleaners, too, that aren't all non-toxic, and you're not going to spend all kinds of money. So
you said vinegar, lemon, the original one was vinegar?
Yeah, vinegar, lemon, and water. I win.
What parts would you do of each?
Usually I'll do one part vinegar, one part lemon, two parts water,
two or three parts water.
Thank you
very much.
For that
much? Okay. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Marie.
Thank you.
All
right. We've got Clutter Clarity coming up next. You are listening to
Mighty House.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return. Here they come to save the day. This is Mighty House.
All right, Mighty House is back. We're brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, you can check them out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call at 847-475-1590, you will have a chance to win some great Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe. And you can learn more at MrFloor.com. Okay, there we go.
Hey, boss man.
Yeah.
You know, a minute ago you were mentioning for the person who needs their linoleum floors cleaned,
mm-hmm.
you said they can try Mr. Floor Cleaners.
Mm-hmm.
Is there not a discount code?
There is.
And do you know how I know?
How do you know?
Because Mr. Floor is listening.
Oh.
And he said to remind Giggle Boy that
yeah.
there is a discount code.
Today.
So Giggle Boy.
Giggle Boy.
Uh-huh.
There is a discount code.
And what would that code be?
It used to be Robbie.
R-O-B-B-I-E?
But it's not anymore, I don't think.
What is it?
What is it now?
I don't know.
He didn't tell you?
So
well, it doesn't do much to have a code if you
don't know what
it is.
Isn't it WGCO?
I don't know.
I'm sorry, WCGO. Oh, my gosh.
I
think the new one is WCGO, but I think if you say Robbie, it'll be okay.
He says there's a promo code, but then he's got to give it to us then, doesn't he?
But I thought
he's giggling
now.
Yeah.
I always thought it used to be Robbie, but then you switched, and now I think it's WCGO.
I don't know. Maybe he'll respond back and let you know.
He is responding back, and he's saying yes. Now,
yes,
Mr.
what?
Floor, yes.
Yes, what?
Which yes is that?
Yes
to it's Robbie, or yes to it's WCGO?
Like, do you want to go here or there? Yes.
He said it's WCGO.
Okay. So use this promo code.
But I'm going to say.
And you get a healthy discount, right?
Yes. I'm going to say today,
mm-hmm.
and I'm glad he's listening. Today, if you go there around 1 o'clock and you're shopping in their showroom.
Oh, yeah. Go to stop by the showroom.
Stop by the showroom, the Mr. Floor showroom.
Yep.
It's on Oakton.
Yep.
And if you say, hey, Robbie sent me, you'll get a shot.
Get a free shot.
And they, not they a have shot in the arm.
Uzo.
Not a shot in the arm.
Oh.
Yeah, whatever their amazing liqueur of the day is.
Yes.
You have to go
they have
and
a rotate.
Shop.
They have a rotating bottle. You know, whatever the bottle is.
That's so classy.
Bottle of the day.
Oh, that's nice.
Bottle of the day.
Nice.
So,
be like, here's
Mr. Floor, Mr. Aaron Floor will not be there today.
Okay.
Mr. Aaron Floor.
But Mr. Aaron, A-R-O-N, Floor will not be there today. But you
Igor
can
Floor
probably,
will?
Yes, you could probably go for Igor Floor. Mr. Igor Floor, at 1 o'clock, say, Robbie sent me to see your showroom and look around.
Yeah.
You have to say that.
Yeah.
And have a shot.
There you go. Are you ready now, Robbie?
I was born ready. But I can't sing because it's delayed.
Yes.
And that's embarrassing. Vamanos!
Do it anyway.
Do you have a disarrangement disorder? Can't seem to get that jumbled hodgepodge pile of chaos in one place? Maybe it's time for a little disposal, a little cleanup, a little eradication, evacuation, liquidation, and purgification. Here's Robbie with a tip on how to put some neatness into your disorder. This is Clutter Clarity on Mighty House.
Sing it, Ron.
Save me from this prison. Lord, help me get away.
Thanks, Allison.
Cause
more of a percussionist.
Only you can save me now from this misery.
I've been lost in my own place. Go, Allison.
I've been lost in my own place.
And I'm getting weary.
I'm getting weary.
How far is heaven?
How far is heaven? I know that
I need to change. My ways of living.
My ways of living.
How far is heaven?
How far is heaven? Lord, can
it's like audio karaoke.
Was pretty awesome.
Actually, it wasn't half bad.
Thank you. Wasn't half good. Come on, Rich. You gotta finish the joke.
No, I was trying to be on the positive side.
Yeah.
Wow, oh, thank you very much. Okay.
Just body slam.
I don't know where
you're
coming from.
Did I misspell your name in the newsletter or something?
I don't know. It just, you know, I have all this angst towards you today. I don't know where it's coming from. Just be
Damn.
Thankful you're not my husband.
Does he look like your husband or something? Maybe that's what.
Thank God I'm not in the studio.
Yeah. You'd be bruised. All right. Go ahead, Robbie.
Okay. So the hanging shoe organizers. Hanging shoe organizers. Okay. You know what they are? They're, you know, like the
things that you hang your shoes in?
Right, quick release to throw at people.
Uh-huh. Yes, exactly. You don't have to bend down to pick up the shoe.
Right,
you just open
reach
the closet
over.
Door, you reach and you whip
one
at
motion.
People.
And if you have the high heels that are like boomerangs, they come back to you.
That's right.
It's awesome and it's all lined up. You know, all of your I can't think of what it's called. Ammunition. All of your ammunition is just right there. Bam, 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 bam. But that's not where we're going with this, Allison. Thank you, though. Yeah. Not really.
Oh. Go ahead.
Who invited her? Did you invite her?
Nobody invited me. That's the joke.
I don't know where she came
from. She just
from.
Showed up.
Yeah, I just came.
Anywhere there are so many good ideas that you can use these for. People kind of get stuck a little bit, and they think, oh, shoe organizer shoes. But let's say you hang it on the back of your bathroom door, or if you have a closet in your bathroom, or
and
right
I put liquor
outside
bottles
the linen.
In it, saves counter space.
Ron, remember you told me that if I didn't like New Guy,
you would. I can't cut him off now. I have no control.
No, I mean just like forever.
Oh yeah, okay. Well,
yeah, not just today.
Okay,
you told me that when you hired him.
Yeah,
you said Robbie, if you don't like New Guy.
Yeah.
Just let me know. And if
that was 5 years
you don't
ago,
like
you have no
new
choice
guy,
now.
Too late
it's
now,
Robbie
sister.
Robbie@mightyhouse.net. If you have any complaints, Robbie@mightyhouse.net. 2 minutes? Are you freaking kidding me?
You didn't even start yet. Let's go.
So on the back of the door, in the bathroom, you can put all your hair tools. You can put your shampoos, your hair brushes. If you have children, all their little bobby pins, their barrettes, their combs, their brushes, their what do they call those? Straightening irons, all that stuff. So that's
junk.
One thing. All the junk. If you have a room where you do crafting, you can hang all your crafting supplies on the back of there. You can put your ribbon, your scissors, your tape, your scrapbooking supplies, the punches, all that kind of stuff. If you have room inside of a front door hallway closet, you can hang all of your hats and gloves in there, your scarves in there. One of my absolute favorite things to do with children's rooms is on the back of a door, Barbie dolls. Oh my gosh, the kids love it. The parents love it. It's awesome. Put all the Barbie dolls in there.
Barbie doll condos.
Barbie doll, yes.
Barbie doll
condos. It's like a
high rise.
Yes, it's a high rise.
It's so awesome. Kids just like, wow. They get wowed when they come home from school. They walk in, all their Barbie dolls are in their little, you know, they're like little sleeping bags for all the Barbie dolls. It's awesome.
Or body bags.
Kind of like a rock climbing wall for Barbies.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you. It's awesome. Okay, in the garage, you can hang one in the garage and put all of your gardening supplies in there. So all your tools, your gloves, your sprays, you know, all the things that you would need for gardening, right handy. And if you get one that's kind of like a plasticky as opposed to a cloth one, you could just hose it down when you need to. A lot of people use it in the kitchen to put extra spices, but they'd have to be like the big, you know, Costco.
The Gonzo size.
Yeah, the Gonzo ones. Okay, a new idea that I saw, which I haven't used yet, is everybody has cords and they don't know what they go to. But let's say you figured out what they go to. You could label the cord or label the shoe slot and put all the cords in these shoe slots. Awesome idea. The other thing you could do, cleaning supplies in the kitchen. Put all your bottles of cleaning supplies. 10 seconds left. You can also get the wider ones that go on the closet rack. And I use those for crafting supplies for all the scrapbook paper. You could use the wider ones and hang up all your scrap. Thank you very much.
We'll be back right after this.
Mighty House will return.